Going to continue a little bit in the vein that I touched on last week. And it's interesting, you know, again, when looking at all the sport we've been watching. Well, I've watched a little bit more than normal in the last couple of weeks. But it's been inspiring in some ways. And I used to do a bit of archery when I was younger. Not that I'm very old, but... But I started at school. Actually, I started when I was quite young. You know, so you've got a hero when you're small. All my heroes, I had a few. All of them had bow and arrow. You know, obviously Robin Hood was one. And there were a few other ones that you won't know, because they're South African. But no, but so I had this thing about bows and arrows. So I made a few. Some more successful than others, some more lethal than others. Did I tell you about the time that I almost shot my sister? Actually, I nicked her in the leg, and praise the Lord, she blackmailed me for months. But at one stage, even I had this thing, you know, because in the movies, they don't just stand still and shoot. They're on horses, and things are happening, action. Now, we didn't have horses, although I did ride, but we didn't have them at home. So what's the next best thing? Bicycle. Yes. So I used to travel downhill on a bicycle with not holding the handlebars with my bow and arrow. And I managed to once actually hit what I was aiming at, and I had quite a bad fall after that, but I didn't feel a thing. You know, that's kind of woo! I have some scars from that, but anyway, so the... So I was looking around. I actually found an archery club just around the corner. Did you know? Did we have those here? Blessed, eh? So now I'm thinking either I must get my equipment from South Africa or we must get something this side, but I'm really keen. So we went by there on Friday, and the guys are quite friendly and they're keen, and they had me shoot some arrows. And, it's amazing. Obviously, I'm a bit rusty. But at least they didn't give me too far to shoot. But immediately, you know, you feel, oh, this is great. And so I never know. Maybe I'll have time to get into that again. But it makes you think of us in life having a goal, having something that we aim at, having something that we work towards. And if you look at the athletes in the games, you know, the Olympic Games specifically, in those sports that are Olympic sports, it only comes around every 4 years. So I'm sure you saw over the last couple of weeks that the disappointment of having done so much to lead up to this event, and then, you know, this, I saw the one lady at the start, I don't know, what was it, a 400 or something, or 400 hurdles, and she had a false start. And apparently she was one of the top contenders. And then it's kind of, okay, thank you. Disqualified immediately. So that's quite tough, you know, having prepared for all this time and many hours, and then you can't even compete. But in any case, that's what I'm preaching about. But, you know, leading up to that and all that, you know, the build up to that, and how we often in life we focus on sin. We focus on the bad things that, you know, that we do and we get up to, and the stuff that we... That in the, you know, when we think about sin, we think about, you know, bad habits and all kinds of terrible things people get up to. But sin is not necessarily only that. Sin is, if you look at the biblical definition, it speaks of, it's to miss the mark. You know, and me trying to hit the bullseye there on Friday, you know, made me think about that again. It's not, and the mark is not to be perfect, but the mark is God's purpose for us. The bullseye is His design for us and His purpose for us, and that differs for each person. So the challenge here is not only when we have different sins. Oh goodness, you know, we don't want to go into that this morning. We'll just get depressed. But we talk about sins of omission and sins of commission. In other words, stuff that we do wrong. In other words, you go out and you kick your neighbor's dog, it poos in your lawn, you know, that's It's commission, because you're doing something that's not blessed. Don't quote me on that, because that's not nowhere in the Bible, okay? But so that's when we do things. And then there's stuff that when we don't do something, it's also... Again, and that's where it comes in, where we miss the mark. In other words, we're not in the will of God. In other words, we say disobedience, obviously also when we miss the mark, when we're disobedient to God. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But in terms of us working towards a goal, looking at a target and wanting to hit the bullseye, it's not so easy, by the way. On Friday, I mean, I just realized, okay, they didn't give me a sight. It's a bit odd. You know? How do you shoot a bow without a sight? In any case, it's difficult. But I managed after a few arrows. But let's start with 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to look a little bit at this race. And because now, often in Scripture, as we mentioned last week as well, Paul specifically talks about a race that we're running, and almost comparing us with athletes on a race and going towards a goal, a finish line. And we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so we see again here, he's speaking about a race that we run. He's speaking about a crown or a prize at the end. And that's kind of that goal that we hit, that we want to hit, is that if end goal. But the thing is with, you know, I don't know if you saw the 100 or the 200 meters. They make such a big fuss. Did you see that? Okay, it is impressive. And the whole thing about the fastest man alive and all that stuff. And obviously, that's where all the hype comes from. You know, being able to say the fastest or the strongest or whatever. But it's like under 10 seconds. You know? And then you get these guys, they swim for literally, that's almost like hours. And those guys do the marathons and things. That's hard work, isn't it? In any case, 10 seconds, woo! In any case, so the race of life is not a sprint. The race of life is more like those ultra marathon type things. It's not a flash in the pan quick. If you compare it to eternity, it can feel like a sprint because it's such a short time. Because eternity is long. It's one of those concepts that kind of hurt your mind a bit because eternity is outside of time. Okay, I'm getting distracted. So the race of life is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. And we look here, and the way that Paul says he runs, he says, "I run in such a way." He says, "Guys, run in such a way that we obtain the prize, that you hit the bullseye." And he says, "Therefore, I run thus." He says, "Not with uncertainty." And I feel that's one of the keys that God wants to give us in this season, that if we come to a place where we can run confidently. Have you ever run a race and you're not sure about the course? I used to do cross country. And if you get lost, it's not good. You know, if you're either, what do you call it? Orienteering. We did some of that as well. There you have to run with the map and the compass and everything. It gets complicated. It's a lot of fun, but it's one of those where it's difficult to run full speed if you're not sure where you're going. It's like running in the dark. Have you tried that? Andres, the previous pastor, who planted this church. I went with him. It was the first time that I did a night ride on a mountain bike. I did with Andres, and it's quite scary. Although we had lights, obviously we have lights, but it's just... everything is different. Your depth perception is all gone, so you cannot go full speed if you're not confident in where you're going, if you can't see properly, and this is a key for us, is that firstly we realize, okay, there's a plan, And as I felt as I was praying, maybe that's something that God wants to leave with some of us this morning, that you're not here by accident. You and I are not here by fluke or freak of nature or because your parents decided. You and I are here this morning because God planned and designed it to be like that. And I just feel good. There's maybe one or two people here that God wants to reassure you, say, I know why I've put you here. I know where you've come from, and I know also where I'm taking you. But it's not a secret. Scripture says that the eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man that which what God has prepared for us, for those who love Him. But then, we always quote that, but then it says, but He wants to reveal it to us by His Spirit. So I want to encourage you guys this morning and myself. He has a plan and He has a course set out for us. And He wants us to get familiar with it to a place where we know that's the next. You know, in orienteering, you work with kind of checkpoints. So you need to get to a certain point, and then from there you go to, and it's in life it often works like that. God shows us only the next checkpoint often. He doesn't show us the end destination. He may have given you a glimpse or two, but it's important that you focus on what's the next checkpoint. So where it says, you know, the word is a lamp unto our feet. It's here that shows us where the next step is going to be. And for us to have a confidence in that and to know, okay, this is where I'm going. This is what God has for me in this season. I can run confidently. So He says therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, if you hit missing the whole time, you get more tired than if you're actually hitting something. But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. So this is the thing that we often we avoid. He says here the word discipline. And I'm not talking like we spoke a few weeks ago about the Lord disciplining us as children. But I'm talking about us living a disciplined lifestyle. And this is something God has actually been talking to me about in terms of if in anything in life, and we've seen that now over the last weeks, if we look at what those guys put into those disciplines that they would call them disciplines. How's that? The sport, you know, and the swimmers are now, I have a friend or two that swam competitively. Roland Schumann, by the way, was also, I think he was only in one or two events this time, but he was at school with me. The reason he started swimming was because he liked a girl on the swimming team. How's that? So he joined the swimming team and standard 8 that he was already 16. Any case. So, you see, when you get distracted like that, you just lose track. Okay, the amount of hours the guys put in is unbelievable. The amount of time the athletes invest into their disciplines is a bit scary, actually. And we know, sitting here, if you have done anything, if you have achieved anything worthwhile, you know it will take time, and it will take effort, and it's going to cost you something. Everything worthwhile costs you something. And we see this here, that Paul has kind of gotten his head around this. He says, it's going to cost me something. I'm going to discipline my body so that I can run this race properly, so lest I get disqualified. Lest I make some effort and I get to the starting line and, you know, like that lady, and I get disqualified. I bring discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. And this is a bit of a wake-up call for some of us, you know, specifically in charismatic Pentecostal circles. We're such airy-fairy sometimes. We're so, you know, so close with God. We drink tea with the angel Gabriel every morning, and we're so deeply spiritual that we miss out on the steadfast, confident walk in the knowledge of the will of God and His purpose for our lives. Because we often so very spiritual. So, but and I think nobody like here this, that, like that this morning. But he speaks of the athletes who do it for a perishable crown. And it was interesting, I heard something in the news or in the newspaper this week that a few countries offer or promise their athletes bonuses, you know, cash for medals. And I think actually Great Britain is one of the few that didn't. And look how successful the team was. And it just so shows you that although, yes, there's some motivation when you're working for a cash bonus or a medal or something, you know, the British team, I believe, just to be here in our nation and to compete here in front of, you know, family and friends is so much, you know, so much more to work for and to aspire for. And then the same thing, when we run this race of life, there is a reward at the finish line. So he speaks here of an imperishable crown. And I'm going to look a little bit at what is that thing? What is that imperishable crown? What is that thing that cannot be stolen? What is that reward that we are running for? The athletes, they got their medals, and we've seen, you know, tears and emotions, and there's, you know, there's a lot of hard work that's gone into that. But what is that thing that we are running for? What is waiting for you and I at the finish line? Because to be honest with you, it's gonna depend how I run. At cross country, at school, you know, if it's just like maybe I'm not that competitive. But you know, if what is at the end? If it's not something I'm really interested in, maybe I'm not going to run as hard. When I was shooting those arrows on Friday, there was a guy that had just started standing next to me. He was being coached. So they said, okay, now we're going to see who of you, you know, can, in the next round, who can get the most in the bullseye. So there's this little competitive thing that... But no, I don't have a sight. Okay, here's a sight. Okay, it was close. But the thing is, we have a bit of a competitive thing in us. But if we know what lies at the finish line, that changes the game. So what is that lying at your finish line? What is the thing that you get up for in the morning? What is the thing that you know that this is worth it for? I'm disciplining my body. I'm working hard. And the key for us for running this race, and I'm going to mention this a few times, we are not performing to get God's approval. Okay, please don't get me wrong on this. We're not working for a tick from God or a ticket into heaven. Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about here. We're going from the point of view that we have already accepted the gift of life in Jesus Christ. We've already taken hold of the gift of salvation. We have now got relationship with God, and now we are running the race. Because if you haven't got those things in place, you're not actually running yet. Maybe warming up somewhere. You know, they have a warm-up track as well. Maybe you're warming up. But once we've taken hold of that thing, that gift of salvation, yes, then we're running. But now I want to ask what... So our goal is not to achieve or earn eternal life. We're going from the premise that we have a relationship with Christ. Okay, are you with me? But what is it then? What is that thing that we as believers are running for? What is the imperishable crown that he talks about here? And then again in Hebrews 11 verse 6 here, talks about, again, in relationship with God. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, that's God, for he that comes to got this from the old the King James, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is a key, that when we come into relationship with God, that we understand that God is who he says he is. So that's part of our coming and submitting to him as Lord and Savior. Okay, that's part of our, you know, we come to Christ, we realize, oh my goodness, I've been missing it all my life. I've been running after all kinds of, you know, I've been running in a direction that's only going to go to destruction. I need to change the direction I'm running in. I'm submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm receiving the fact that he sent his son to die and to pay for my sin. And I'm now stepping into a relationship with him. Okay? But then he says... And I believe, you know, that's part of that process of us believing who he says he is, that he is who he says he is. But then very key here, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Again, that we if you start this race, this is the key, that we understand and believe that Christ, that God, is a rewarder, and that there is something at the finish line, that there is a reward, that there is something that we are running for, that there is something that we are pursuing. Are you with me this morning? And if we don't get that, then maybe that's why we have believers that are going through life confused and discouraged and not being aware of this, not really being convinced that God is a rewarder, not being aware of the prize, not being aware of the goal, or the thing that lies there at the finish line. He says that this is the key, that we understand this about God. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Again, but the diligence there speaks of discipline again. And if you look at the word disciple, it's also it comes from that. So there's very much a disciple means a disciplined one, disciplined follower, that type of thing. So it seems like we're not going to get around this one, this diligence, this discipline factor. And again, if you look at what the guys get up to these days, these athletes, these top athletes, they don't just have a coach. Okay, when I was at school or wherever, varsity, did a bit of sport, if you're lucky, you had a coach. But these guys, they got a whole army of people around them. They've got physios and doctors and nutritionists and dietitians and I don't even know half of them. And they got psychologists even working on the mental side and the psychological side. And then there's a whole army of guys surrounding them. It's not only the coach. And they make sure that everything, every part of this person's conditioning and preparation happens correctly. But as Christians, we often miss that. We know, yes, there's discipline, and yes, I must discipline my body. But we spiritually, for instance, we don't really watch out for what we eat. These guys, they eat only very specific key things. Different sports, different disciplines eat different things. If you're a sprinter, what a sprinter eats is going to be very different from what a long distance guy eats. And it's just funny, apparently, last year's Tour de France, apparently there was some guy that was tested positively for some kind of illegal substance. And the story that he came up with, which is quite an amazing story, I think, was that, them being so careful about what they eat, he said there was only one thing that he ate that he didn't know where it came from. And that was, so on his rest day, there was a guy from his village or something that brought a steak from that area, and he made the steak for him, and he, the only thing he could think of whatever it was, that poor piece of cattle was obviously was raised and had steroids, as they these days have. How's that? Okay. And they apparently believe them. But praise God. But they're so careful, because apparently normally they will not eat anything except for what their dietitian or nutritionist or whatever that designated person says they must eat. But spiritually, we miss that. Spiritually, we kind of, I'll look at this and I'll put some of this in and I'll watch this TV series that comes out of my ear. And we expose ourselves to so much, which actually feeds something in us. And we don't really realize what the significance is spiritually. So I want to just throw that out there. That's part of the discipline, is to say, okay, out of what I'm putting in, I need to make sure that my diet is such that I can run this race. Is my diet spiritual? What am I reading? What am I watching? Who am I spending time with? Okay. Amazing that there's a place that we can really feed ourselves with the Word of God and with the presence of God and with the right kind of input. Are you with me? Okay. Alrighty. I think I'm not going to get through half of my scriptures, but that's okay. Maybe I'll read them quickly. Okay, now we get to the tough one here. It says here, Luke chapter 14, 27 to 35. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So quite harsh here, it sounds like, from Jesus. Oh, let's just the one, verse 34 there as well. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus speaking quite straight here with the guys. He's talking about the whole thing of taking up our cross. And believe it or not, guys, this is part of the good news. And often we miss this bit. But once, when we come to Christ, when we start the race, and this is a key for starting any race, you need to have an idea of what the distance is. Now, that's why the 100 meters, most of us will probably be able to run 100 meters. I'm not saying under 10 seconds, but yes, I believe most of us in this room will be able to finish 100 meters at more than walking speed, okay? But I don't know about the marathon. To be honest, at this present point in time, I doubt whether I will be in a good condition after a marathon. But that's part of running a race. You just sit down at the beginning or building something or going to war, as he says here, to sit down and say, okay, let's take stock. This is where I am at. This is my fitness level. Am I going to be able to run this way? What is it going to cost me? If I'm not fit enough, that means I'm going to have to train. If I'm not able to, then something has to change. You see what I have? What I'm talking about here? The builder has to say, okay, what can I afford this? And do I have enough materials? Do I need to buy something else? Do I need to prepare more? Have I got what? What is this going to cost me? And when we come to Christ, often we miss this bit. And it's not our fault. Often it's the people that share the gospel with us saying, oh, it's going to be amazing. Jesus is going to be your best friend. And it's all true. But we miss the bit of counting the cost and realizing I'm not going to be the same. My life is going to be changed upside down. The things that complete me as a person now, the things that I rely on, the things that I put my trust in, are going to disappear. I'm not going to be there anymore. I'm going to put my trust in God. And we often miss that bit. But the amazing thing is, when we come to Christ, is He doesn't expect us to come perfectly. He doesn't expect us to be gold medalists when we join the team. He doesn't expect us, just when we start the race, to be perfect in how we do it. But He does expect us to take up our cross and to follow Him and to lay down our desires and our plans. And I experienced this in a very real way when I became serious about the purpose of God, the goal, the bullseye for my life. A long time, I had many plans and dreams, and some of you know, I wanted to be a test pilot in the Air Force, and I was in the Air Force, and I was training, and everything was going well. But when I got serious with God about what is His goal, I was aiming at something. But I realized that that's not necessarily what God has in store for me. Bit of a wake-up call. I was so blessed the other day, someone came to me and with this question. He said, Yaku, I realized the other day that I've studied, I've worked hard, I'm relatively successful at what I do, but I realized that all of this means nothing. He's recently come to Christ, recently been baptized a while ago, and he came to this revelation that Scripture says that our works will be tested in fire when we come to God one day, you know, and then there will be, the test will be, okay, what is remains after the fire? And it's only the precious, it's only what is of God that will remain. And what is the, and he says, if I have to go there now, everything will be burnt up and go up in smoke. He realizes that what he's been doing, although in the eyes of the world, successful and blessed and amazing, he realized. So he comes to me with this question, how do you know? And I said, praise God, that is a good place to be. Because, you know, it's we can run after those things for so many years. But once you get to that point, you're in a good place. And I was at that point of desperation saying, God, I need to know what is the bullseye for my life. What is that goal? And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's not what I'm doing now, but I want to know. And the moment God saw, okay, this guy's serious, although I didn't know exactly what was ahead even, I didn't even know, he didn't show me the end goal or anything, but he showed me the next step. And guys, but the amazing thing was once I honestly came to God, I said, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to walk in this road. I want to walk the course. I want to run the course that you have set out for me. That is the moment that, and in my life it worked like that, the Lord removed the stuff that I was putting my trust in. I had a good job. I had a decent salary. Working and studying. Being paid a salary while studying full time. That's not bad. You know? Good deal. And all these things. And the Lord just kind of, obviously because that wasn't part of the plan, these things kind of just, within like 2 months, just went all wrong. It felt to me. But basically God was just basically positioning me to walk into this. So I just want to throw it out there. It's going to cost something. Because at that stage I was like, oh my goodness, what's happening? You know, it's scary. I don't have a job anymore. Instead of having a great salary, I now have a huge amount of debt. But God had already made a plan. Anyway, so when we get serious with that, what is the bullseye? God meets us there. And let me tell you that, if you go on your knees and your quiet space somewhere, and you say, God, I've been chasing the wind, I've been doing a lot of stuff, but I haven't really come to terms, haven't got the confidence that I'm running towards the goal that you have prepared for me. God will meet you right there, and he's going to show you step by step, okay, this is what we do. And guys, I just sense now there's some of you that feel, but I'm so far from that place. It's too far. It's just not going to work. But it's not like that. Okay, often we feel, I've wasted 30 years, I've wasted 40 years. It's not like that. Okay? All it takes, God, all that stuff in the past, God uses. Okay, he turns it around for your blessing. He will make it work for the kingdom, for his glory. But we have to make the shift. And for you and I to get back onto the course is just a place of repentance. It's just of acknowledge, okay, God, I've missed it. What do I need to do? How do I get back on course? And it's not going to take 15 years, let me tell you that. It's going to cost something. And often that's where we trip up. Is we often not prepared to make that shift. I was, praise God, the grace of God. I was still young, and that the grace of God was sufficient for me to make that shift, to lay down the dreams and the plans and to step into what he had. But I'll tell you now that the grace of God is huge for you in that moment. Call it mega grace. I mean, it's like Peter, step out of the boat. In the boat, there's a grace there, but not. It's when the real grace happens when you step out. So, okay, Lord, what is that thing? What is the bullseye for me? And I mentioned last week. It's not going to be on there, but God, 2 Peter 1:2-3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, the power of God, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? So the amazing thing is he has got everything for us that we need for this race. Yes, it's going to be discipline. Yes, it's going to be a cost. But he in Christ, in the power of God, everything is everything that we need for this race. Okay? So there's no fear going into this thing. There's no inadequacy. There's just dependence upon the power of God and upon the power of the Holy Spirit. But there will definitely, there will still be the cost. Okay? Okay, let's look at what Paul writes a little bit further on this thing. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already attained. Now this is again, Paul is a very successful guy. He is successful in many disciplines. He's very well educated. In his field, he was at the top of his game when he came to Christ. So now look at what he says. Not that I have already attained, for I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So he realizes there's a reason. He realizes there's a purpose that God has for him. He says, like, I press on for that thing for which Christ has died for me for. And he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that were those things which are behind, my successes, my accomplishments, everything that glorifies Paul, Apostle Paul, yeah, or Yaku, whoever. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he speaks about the goal. He speaks about the prize. He knows that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I want to encourage us this morning that God is a rewarder and there's a prize for us. There's something at the finish line. There is a goal that we're aiming for. Forgetting the stuff that is behind. If you're in that place now, if you feel we're sitting now, oh dear, maybe what I've been busy with isn't the goal. Maybe this isn't the bullseye. Maybe what I've put all my years into, maybe that's not it. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. He says here, there's a grace to move forward from that. As we walk into the grace of God, as we walk into the provision of God. Okay. I'm not going to read the whole thing, the next one, Emil. I'm just going to mention there Matthew 6. I'm going to just read to you. It's the middle bit there, verse 18. So that you do not appear to me to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place. Who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But he's talking about, again, he's talking about a reward, about God rewarding openly. And he's talking about a treasure beyond this life. So he says, we can store up stuff here on the earth, but there's also a way to store up something for eternity. And that's often John Bevere's got a whole book and a series of teachings on this about being eternally minded. And I don't have a lot of time to go into that. But I just want to throw it out there that our life is not about the here and now. It's not only, this is almost, not when I say it's the warm-up, it's the race that we're running, but the running of this race is basically a preparation for eternity. If we look at time, now it's again a difficult concept, the time we have on earth, the preparation race, or the qualifying race, I don't want to say it, the heat, is very short in terms of time. And eternity is obviously eternity. So what is the key here is to realize, okay, I need to focus here, because how I run this race is going to determine what lies ahead for me in the next one. Are you with me this morning? And guys, again, this is not the thing to be afraid about. This is something to be excited about. This is like, oh my goodness. God has got a reward for us in eternity. He's got amazing things prepared for us. And we have this time here now to walk the course, to run the course that He has set out for us so that we can go into the fullness of what He has for us there. Okay? But for us not to focus on, okay, my job, my this, my that, but to say, okay, what is that bullseye? Because that bullseye will launch me into the eternal destiny that God has for me beyond this life on the earth. Okay. So let us lift our eyes from what is the pressures of the world and the weights and the burdens of the world to what is our eternal destination, our eternal inheritance and our eternal destiny in Christ. I have to come back to this. This is trying to cover a lot of ground here this morning. Maybe we, after the camp, maybe we can do some more. And then, what is this? I believe a part of the reward is this thing. And maybe you've, I don't know if you've seen the, what is that guy, that South African swimmer that won the 200 meter butterfly? How do you say his surname? Look, yeah, I've heard 50 different ones. That's why I asked. But I don't know. So apparently it's Leclerc. Okay, that's the version I've heard. But in any case, you know who I'm talking about. Now, he's famous, but his father is more famous than he is. Did you know that? And he's, if you look at that little interview, that they interviewed him twice on the BBC, and that thing has had so many views on YouTube, it's amazing. I saw it live. I don't know, but I was part of history being made right there. And but if a word that he uses often is unbelievable. Okay, but go, if you haven't seen it, go and look at that. And I looked at some of the comments at the bottom, and one of the comments was, "I wish he was my dad." Eh? The world yearns for stuff like that. This father is so proud he cannot contain himself. He goes ballistic. On the stands, they show him at one stage. He's just going absolutely bananas, you know. And we don't realize that is part of the reward that is there for us. It's the Father God, the Creator of the universe, who's jumping up and down and he's crying. That's my son there. Do you see him? That's my daughter there. Oh, going absolutely. Doesn't care what, you know, doesn't care what anybody thinks. This father, he's my son. He's unbelievable. He's such a down to earth guy. He's such a blessing, you know. He's just like the, you know, and he can't stop. Just he's gushing. And then one stage he kind of catches himself. He says, "Is this life?" And he realizes he's just been going all over the place, you know. And then the lady says, "No, that's fine." You know, this is unbelievable. And that, and his voice is all hoarse from screaming, you know, and from and he says, look at him, he's beautiful, you know. That's the heart of the Father. And we read of the great crowd of witnesses, the saints, that are surrounding us, that are cheering for us. Did you? I don't know. Some of us, I know Anarine and them were there on that Saturday where they call it Super Saturday. Did you hear the crowd? Somebody said if they put a roof on that thing, it would have been a problem in that stadium. But that's such a roar. And that, if you can imagine the spirit, there's this roar going on for you and I. Because there's a great cloud, a crowd of witnesses that are out there, that are supporting us, that are encouraging, that are praying for us. Because we're running the race. And the greatest supporter is the Father. Let's read what he said. Let's read from about this principle. Somebody get me a tissue, please. Really appreciate that. Matthew 25:20-21. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them." Thanks very much. Excuse me for one moment. Thanks. Thanks, Zet and Sylvia. And then he says, "Yeah." Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I don't know about you, But when I stand before the Father one day, when I reach the finish line, this is what I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and faithful pastor or mega bishop, evangelist, prophet, CEO. No. God will say, faithful servant. That is what He calls us to. He calls us to serve. He calls us to connect with His heart. And yes, He calls us to lead. And many of us here will be CEOs and will lead many people. But the leadership and the plan and the course that God has for us is to do with serving people with the love of Christ. But listen to this Father heart here again. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then we see this very powerful picture in the life of Christ. And I want to end with this. Matthew 3:17. This is where Jesus gets baptized. And Jesus has been preparing, He's been training, He's spent 30 years faithfully waiting and preparing to hit the bullseye. Okay? And this is it now. This is the start. And you see the Father's heart here. And He says, and then this is being baptized, it says in verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And today, the Lord wants to rip up in the heavens and He wants to say to you, you are My beloved child. And I'm well pleased with you. And He is your greatest supporter. And Zephaniah, He dances over us. He rejoices. He's excited. You think that bird, the clow guy, is excited? God will put him to shame. I can tell you that. The Father God. He's excited about you. That is a part, I believe, a key part of the reward that waits for us, is to have the Father rejoice over us. But He rejoices now already. But to have Him there saying, well done, good and faithful servant. I love you. This is My Son. This is My daughter. I'm well pleased with you. And if you look at the New Testament, there are not many times that God speaks audibly. Publicly, where a lot of people hear. There's a few times where He speaks to one person at a time audibly, okay? But if you look at it, this is one of the only times where He speaks so that a lot of people can hear. He says, this is My boy. I love Him. I'm pleased with Him. This is Him. And then there's another part where He says, listen to Him. This is My beloved Son. I'm pleased with Him. Listen to Him. Hear Him. He's affirming Him. And that's what I believe God wants to do. He just wants to affirm this morning. Say, I love you. I want to affirm you. I want to say, go, run. Run the race. Do not get discouraged. Do not get distracted with the stuff on the side. Do not get distracted with the pressures of this and that every day. Fix your eyes on the goal. Because there is a reward. When we get up in the morning, when the guys come to do setup here early, while some of us are still sleeping, they're not doing it because they want a pat on the shoulder from me. Because they know there's a reward there. It's the kingdom. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. The guys that are spending the whole day, the whole Sunday practicing worship and stuff, it's not because somebody's going to say, wow, well done. It's not because of stuff like we did this morning to honor them. No, it's because of the reward. But guys, there's a place where we have to count the cost. We realize, listen, if we're going to run together this race, stuff like home group, that's important. Stuff like church, I can't really afford to miss that practice session or that session with the team. Can't miss that. Because we're running a race. And we realize, okay. And I remember when training with Andres for that mountain bike race in Italy, it almost killed me. But you know how good it is to have that thing in front of you. Because listen, guys, I realize I'm actually quite a lazy person. Right? You know, sometimes you have to just humble yourself and say, okay, God, by the grace of God. Because if there's not that thing, what am I running for? If I have that thing that I'm preparing for, that thing that I'm trying and I'm aiming at, we're going nowhere. And It's like that with us spiritually as well. What are we running for? What is the goal? Okay, if you could stand with me, I want to finish this morning. But God wants to give you that confidence. God wants to give you and I that confidence to say, that's it. This is the bullseye for my life. And you know what? By the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to hit that bullseye so hard, everybody's going to know. And everybody's going to give glory to the Father. Amen? Okay, you need to focus now. It's not about glory to Yaku, anybody else. It's not about, yes, woohoo, it's because the Father is glorified when we hit the bullseye. He is glorified. His name is being lifted up. The kingdom comes when we hit the bullseye. And you know what scary thing is? When I humbled myself and when I got desperate to know the bullseye, the purpose of God for my life, it's got nothing to do with Yaku. And my fame and nothing, zero. It was all God, Jesus. He be glorified. And let me just warn you ahead of time. If you're going to go see God about that bullseye, know that it's not going to be about you. Know that you will probably be a very small part of the equation, but that the name of God, the name of Jesus will be lifted up and His kingdom will come. Amen. This morning, I just feel there's some people that have never experienced the affirmation of the Father. Let's just close our eyes. I just feel God wants to. There's some that don't. That maybe sitting here and you're hearing this thing that God wants to affirm you, and somehow you believe this doesn't apply to you. Maybe you're thinking, Yaki, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I can't even come to God. The stuff that is in my past, I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm definitely not going to bring it before God because it's just too shameful. And I want to tell you this morning that is the reason why Jesus died. That is the reason why Jesus endured the cross. That is the reason why He laid down His life. He paid for every one of those things. Those shameful things that are in our past. Those things that we don't want anybody to know about. Jesus died for those things. Jesus died so that you and I can come before God boldly, without fear, knowing that He will not reject us, knowing that He has accepted us because of the blood of Jesus. And that He, through the blood of Christ, He wants to open the heaven this morning and say, "You are my beloved. I'm well pleased with you. I'm cheering you on. I'm saying, go. This is my son. Look at him. Look at him. Look at my boy. Look at my daughter. She's beautiful. Unbelievable. Look at what she's facing. There's so much coming against her, but she's staying the course. Look at him. There's so many things happening. There's so many distractions, but he's focused. Look at my boy. Look at my girl. She's so amazing. She's beautiful." This morning, if you can't receive that yet, and if you can't receive the truth of that, I believe the Lord wants you to step into a place of relationship with Him. To a place where you receive the fact that Jesus died. That He paid the highest price so that you can have life. He paid the highest price so that you and I can have that relationship with the Father. That you and I can be assured of our eternal destiny in terms of that we will be with Him. And if you're not sure this morning, if you say, "Yaku, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what lies for me in eternity. To be honest with you, I'm afraid to think about it." Or you might say, "Yaku, I've walked the road with God, but I'm far from Him now. I've lost my first love. I don't hear the voice of the Father anymore. I'm far from Him. My heart is hard." Then this morning, there's an opportunity for you to respond to the love of God for you. If that's you, if you're far from God, if you need to come back to your first love, if you have to say, "Lord, I've been busy with so many things and I've drifted from you, but I want to come back. Or if it's for the first time, God, I've tried many things, but I know the answer is in Christ. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to receive this gift of salvation. and need to step into relationship with you. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. If you could indicate with your hand, if you could lift your hand this morning, I want to pray with you. If there's anybody like that, don't worry about the person next to you. If you need to just respond to God tugging at your heart this morning, I want you just to lift your hand. We're just going to pray together. Is there anybody like that? Okay. And then secondly, if you know in your heart of hearts that you've been running after so many things, you're not running with confidence because you're not sure about the goal. You're not sure about the bullseye. You're not sure about the course. And you're running hesitantly this way, that way. Maybe it's this, maybe it's there. And you need to come to the place where you say, Lord, I don't know, I'm running in circles here. I'm not running, I'm running in the dark. And I believe God wants to affirm you today, and He wants to put you on the right track. And He wants to give you a glimpse of the reward. He wants to give you a glimpse of the Father jumping up and down at the finish line saying, go, my son, go. Go, my daughter, don't give up. Don't get distracted. Don't lay down now. Don't let that thing bring you down. Come on, run the race. I'm here. Everything that you need, I've given you. Everything, the power of your spirit is with you. But if you know you need to get back on course and you need to get serious about what that thing is, I want you just to raise your hand this morning. I want us to pray together. Okay, so let's just, where you at, wherever you're standing at, we're just going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you see every person, you see every heart, God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can right now, we stop. We stand still for a moment to say, God, we humble ourselves, Lord. We haven't been running your course, Lord. We've been running a lot of things. We've been exerting a lot of effort. But so much of it has been in vain, Father. And we humble ourselves, God, in Jesus' name. And this morning we ask, yeah, we repent, Father. We repent of running in a different direction. We repent and of running after so many things in Jesus' name. And we thank you this morning that your mega grace is here for us to step back onto the course, God. And right now we choose, in the name of Jesus, we choose to step into the course again. I've been out of bounds, been running in the rough, or whatever, been off the course. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we choose to step back onto your path, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that you put in our hearts an urgency, Father, a passion, God, an urgency to know what is the goal, what is the goal, what is the bullseye for my life, Lord, that I might not miss it, Lord, not any day, Lord, that every day I will know, Lord, I will not miss the mark because your grace is sufficient for me. Because I know what it is, because I've got a confidence, I'm running with confidence, I'm disciplining myself. Lord, not of my own strength, but of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Right now, I cancel every spirit of timidity, every fear that keeps us bound to our past. I cancel in the name of Jesus Christ, every fear of man that keeps us bound in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now, Lord, for the perfect love of God to pour out in our hearts again that will cast out every fear in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you that this morning that we can receive that affirmation. You are my beloved child. I love you. I'm well pleased with you. I thank you, Lord, for that from that point there comes a place of sensitivity, Lord. I thank you that you tune our ears in to hear your voice again in Jesus' name. To hear your voice and to respond when you speak, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for a boldness, God. Right now I speak over this, over us, a boldness in the name of Jesus Christ, and a boldness in the power of the Holy Spirit, a confidence which is in you, Lord, a confidence in your faithfulness, a confidence, Lord, that you are the one that will sustain us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, that we will run the race confidently, Lord, that we will not beat the air, Lord, that we will run with confidence, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Even this week, Lord, as we seek your face, I thank you for those, even as those, just for a shift, Lord, an urgency to seek you diligently, Father. And I thank you even this week that you give glimpses, that you start showing, this is the next step. This is what I've got prepared for you. Not only for you, but for your family. Not only for you, your nuclear family, but for your extended family. There's a purpose. There's a plan. Let the kingdom come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Birth in us those seeds of destiny, Lord, those
put in our hearts again, and those seeds that will grow up, Lord, to bear fruit that brings glory to your name, God. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, even now, since the people that have been hopeless, you've been asking many questions, and you've been running this way and that, and you've been frustrated with God. And I feel God wants to meet you right there, but you need to lay down that stuff. You need to lay down those questions. You need to lay down those frustrations and some even offenses. Offenses against leadership, offenses against God. Lay them down at the cross and receive what God has for you. Even there was somebody this week that has been asking God, has been crying out, but it's like there's nobody home. And I just feel you need to, there's something that you need to lay down. Something you need to say, God, this thing has hurt me so much, but I want to lay it down. I'm going to trust you to heal it. I want to trust you to bring restoration. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you afterwards. If you feel God has spoken to you now, I need to pray with you afterwards. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you for fruit. We thank you, Lord, for your glory to be manifested in our lives, God. We thank you, Lord, for revelation, Lord, of the goal's eye, of the bull's eye, of the goal that you are calling us toward. In Jesus' name. Father, we ask for, as a family, Lord, help us to be focused, God. Help us as a family, as a body, Lord, that we would focus on that you have laid on our hearts, God. Lord, that we will have an urgency around what your purpose is, God. I thank you that obedience will not be a problem, Lord, because we know what the goal is. We know what we know there's a reward, Father. And I thank you for a boldness in our obedience, Father. I thank you for an urgency as we seek your kingdom, as we seek your purpose for us here in this community, Father. In Jesus' name. I pray your blessing on every person here, Father. I pray your peace as we go from this place, God. I thank you, Lord, for abundance of fruit, Lord. Fruit that will glorify your name. Fruit that will lift up the name of Christ, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.